God's mercy is indeed new every morning. And I just want you to think for a second. I want you to think about, and you know, we've got a picture, and that could be a sunset or a sunrise, but I want you to think about a beautiful, maybe a sunrise that sticks out in your mind. Okay? For the teenagers in the room, maybe think back a ways when you were up before the sun, right? No, these guys are good. But think about a beautiful sunrise. And I want us to think about sunrise in context with the scripture, with the passage that we're going to be in this morning. We're going to be in Lamentations chapter 3, if you have your Bible and you'd like to turn there. It's right after the book of Jeremiah. It's not a book that maybe you've not heard too many sermons out of the book of Lamentations, because Lamentations is actually a collection of poems, and a lot of these poems are about lament. They're about being brokenhearted. What's happened is the city of Jerusalem has fallen, okay? The temple where the Jewish people would go and worship, where the one priest would go in, the high priest would go in once a year to what was called the Holy of Holies. The temple has been destroyed. The city is in ruins. The people of God, the Jewish people, have been scattered. They're in Babylon, okay? Which is just, it's a different land, all right? If you don't know exactly where Babylon is, that's okay. But they're in a different land, and they're in captivity. And the book of Lamentations is about hearts that are being poured out and saying, God, we realize that it is our sin, it was our choices that brought us to this point, that we were a people that belonged to you, we were people that were supposed to honor you, and we didn't do that. And so they just poured out their lament and their heartbroken over the fact that their city is in ruins, that the temple is in ruins, and that they're now living in a strange land and they're enslaved. These are the people of God and they're enslaved by this other people. And so if you read the book of Lamentations, and we won't read the whole thing today, but I'm just going to give you a couple of verses of example, right? Okay, Lamentations chapter 1, very first verse says, "How she sits alone, the city once crowded with people. She who is great among the nations has become like a widow. The princess among the provinces has become a slave. And she is the city of Jerusalem." Lamentations chapter 3, verse 1. "I am the man who has seen affliction under the rod of God's wrath. He has driven me away and forced me to walk in darkness instead of light." Pouring out his heart. Confession of sin. And knowing that serving a just God, there's got to be consequences to sin. There's got to be consequences to the choices that we make. So this book of Lamentations, you know, I would be careful when you read this book, right? If you're already maybe feeling a little bit down, ask the Lord to give you great grace if you choose to read the book of Lamentations, because there doesn't seem to be a lot of hope at points. But if we understand the context of this book, there's great hope. And we're going to look at the few verses that we'll look at from Lamentations chapter 3, starting in verse 22, offer us great hope. New every morning. Think about that sunrise. I mean, I enjoy being out in the bush. I enjoy going on hikes. I enjoy hunting. I enjoy fishing and all kinds of things that require maybe we do early in the morning. And one of my favorite things, I am not a morning person, okay? That's not my bent. You know, my wife will tell you, as long as you give me 15 minutes in the morning, I'm not grumpy. I'm just not with it. Like, I'm not there. So getting up early in the morning is not maybe my favorite thing to do, but I know if I want to get out in the bush and go for a long hike, or if I want to go fishing or whatever, I got to get up early. And one of the greatest benefits to getting up early is seeing the sunrise. In the passage that we're about to read, every sunrise that we either see or that we remember can be a great reminder to us of who God is. Lamentations chapter 3, starting in verse 22. "Because of the Lord's faithful love," remember, they're writing, they're lamenting the fact they're in a foreign land, their city has fallen, they don't have their temple, okay, the people of God. "Because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish, for his mercies never end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will put my hope in him." This is a people that they're in slavery. They're in captivity. They're under somebody else's rule. They had all this freedom with God. They had all these things going for them. They've lost it all. This is in reference to what happened in 586 BC, a historical event. 586 BC, and this book is all about lamenting their choices that have led them to this point. But in the midst of them acknowledging that, yes, God, we have sinned, we've made bad choices, God, and we know that there had to be judgment, and we're under your judgment, they say in the midst of all that, God, your love is faithful. And the word they use for faithful, it means steadfast and stable. God's steadfastness, his stability, his faithful, his steadfast and faithful love. And this love is not, the word they use is not like an obligatory love. This word that they use for love is a love that it's a love that comes out of care and concern and affection. Because although they know they're in a tough spot, they know that the faithful love of God causes them not to perish. And we're thinking pre-Jesus here. And we're reading pre-Jesus, not pre-existence of Jesus, but pre-Jesus being sent. Because Jesus always has been, always will be. God's faithful love, his steadfast and stable love, it's not obligatory, but it shows great care, it shows great concern, and it shows great compassion. Because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish. We won't die away. His mercies never end. Now, this idea of mercies. You know, I don't know how you would define mercy, but this is the way that I think is a great way to define mercy as we see it based on Old Testament, based on New Testament, based on how Jesus used the concept of mercy. But when God shows us mercy, it means that he didn't give us what we deserve. Okay? When we show someone mercy, it means that we don't give them what they deserve. And for mercy to be shown, it means there needs to be a need for mercy. Let me share with you a quick story. There was a mother who once approached Napoleon. Okay? Not Napoleon Dynamite, okay? But Napoleon Bonaparte. A woman once approached Napoleon, and she asked for a pardon for her son. She got to appear before this emperor and ask for just mercy for her son. Napoleon, would you pardon him? And Napoleon said, well, he's been found guilty of two major offenses, and the only judgment that is suitable under our law is death for your son. And I'm just following the letter of the law. His son and his mom said, you know, I'm not asking for justice. Napoleon said, if justice is to be served, then death has to come to your son. She said, I'm not asking for justice. I'm pleading for mercy. Napoleon said, but your son does not deserve mercy. And sir, the woman cried, it would not be mercy if he deserved it. And mercy is all I ask for. Well, then the emperor said, I will have mercy. And he spared the woman's son. Now, I think this is a pretty good illustration of what mercy can be. But where this illustration breaks down, okay, this is a woman that's pleading for the life of her son. I know he doesn't deserve mercy, but you can choose to give it. I'm not asking for justice. I'm asking for mercy. Where this illustration breaks down for us is that we serve a just God. We serve a God that, yes, he gives mercy, and he gives it in a way that's greater than we could ever imagine. But he is a just God. And there has to be an answer for the sin that has entered the world. There has to be something that pays for that sin. And so in order for God to be greatly merciful, but also to be true to his character, to be just, he sent his only son, who always was, always will be, was with God in the beginning when he created the world. When God spoke the world into existence, Jesus was there. And God said, I will show great mercy on the people that I have created and that I love with this love that is a love of care and concern, that is an unconditional love. That when God shows mercy, it means that there has to be, that there has been a need for mercy. that when God showed mercy to you and to me, it's because we needed his mercy. But you know, he didn't just ignore justice. He sent the only one that could pay the price. The only one that could really take on the judgment of God. And he sent his son Jesus. And if you're here as a follower of Jesus this morning, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know that as we approach Easter weekend and as we approach next Sunday being Palm Sunday, where we celebrate what's called the triumphal entry of Jesus, the last time that he entered the city of the great entry that he made into the city of Jerusalem before he was to go to the cross, before he was to take on that sin that you and I have committed, that everyone in the whole world has ever committed. As we get ready to observe this Palm Sunday, as we get ready to observe Good Friday, as we get ready to celebrate Easter Sunday morning with the resurrection of Jesus, I want us to remember this idea of mercy. And as you're thinking of a beautiful sunrise, or maybe as you get to witness a beautiful sunrise, or just whenever, each morning when we wake up, I would love to challenge us that if this is true, if the writer of Lamentations is right, Lamentations 3, because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish, for his mercies never end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, great is your faithfulness, great is your steadfastness, great is your stability, God. If it's true, and we want it to ring true in our lives, then maybe every morning, and I just want to ask that maybe every morning this week when we get up, that we would remember, write ourselves a little note, have an alert on our phone, or whatever it is it's got to be to remind us, have a sticky note with this scripture passage on it. But that every morning, and I would say start with this week, start with tomorrow, but going forward, every morning, maybe practice just saying, God, thank you for your mercies. And not just, okay, I got up, God, thank you for your mercies, check off, go, great, done. But spending time saying, God, you showed great mercy because I needed great mercy. And do you know what is encouraging to me also about this passage? His mercies never end. You ever had a day when you woke up and maybe you got to the end of the day, or you woke up the next morning and you just thought, God, I think I used all your mercy yesterday. God, I know the things that went through my mind. I know the things that came out of my mouth. I know the things that I did. Maybe it's that same thing that we've struggled with for years, and we asked God for forgiveness yesterday, and then today we fell short in that area again. Sometimes we can feel like, okay, sometimes I can feel like I can test the limits of God's mercy. But you know what Lamentations tells us? They never end, and they are new every morning. The fact that God has not given us what we deserve, the fact that he's given us not just mercy, but he's given us grace, that he's giving us something more than we ever could deserve. He's given us relationship with him through his son Jesus. The fact that God has done this, in that God proves that really his mercies never do end, and that they are indeed new every single morning. Southwinds, I want to say that if we take this passage as truth, you didn't use up his mercies yesterday. You didn't use them up last week. You haven't used them up in the last year. They're never ending, and they're new every day. And you know something? I think if we'll spend some time dwelling on that fact, if we'll spend some time acknowledging the fact and being honest with ourselves and honest with God, I think it'll help us with 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And yes, when we pray and confess our sin to Jesus and ask him to be Lord and Savior of our life, when we say, I want to be a follower of yours, Jesus, he wipes the slate completely clean. But then as we go throughout our life, I don't know about you, but I struggle with sin on a daily basis. Daily basis. Sometimes it feels like a minutely basis. I struggle with it. Do you know that he tells us, Bo, you can come to me. You can give that over to me. And if I remember that not only do his mercies never end, but they're new every morning, they're fresh every morning, then man, the things that I'm trying to hold back in my life, The things that I'm trying to hide in my heart. Why wouldn't I turn them over to him? One, he can see them already. But two, his mercies are never ending. And they're new every morning. So the things that I'm trying to hide, the more that I will understand that his mercies are new, and the more that I understand that his mercies are never ending, the more I'll be willing to relinquish those things to him and let him bring true life to me. Another point about realizing that God's mercies are new every day and that they are never ending. You know, if we'll get up in the morning and say, God, it is a great day. Your mercies are new today. Doesn't mean that I can trample all over and take advantage of that fact and say, okay, your mercies are new, so I'm going to test it. No, obviously that's not what that means. But you know what? If we will live like we remember and understand that his mercies are new every day, then I believe people will see something different within you and me. I believe they'll see the work of the Holy Spirit within you and me. I believe they'll see someone that doesn't walk with not a care in the world, that doesn't mean that you go and you have no problems in life, that you don't have hard conversations to have at work, that you don't have difficult situations arise at home. And that's not what that means. What it means is that you and I can walk with God in his mercy. And that I got to hope that people will see that. And they may want some of that. Like, man, I know what's going on in your life. How do you deal with that? God's mercy is new every morning. And I'm thankful for that. It could be an answer as simple as that. But we got to live it. The story about the mother begging for her son, for mercy for her son, and that she wasn't asking for justice, she was just asking for mercy. Again, it's a great story, but it falls short for us as far as a biblical perspective of mercy. Because even maybe all we wanted was mercy, God also demands justice. And he gave us justice. He fulfilled the justice that he demands in his son Jesus. In his great mercy, God gave us his son, satisfying God's need for justice and proving his great faithful love and never-ending mercy. God did it. He continues to do it. Verse 24 of Lamentations chapter 3. I say, the Lord is my portion. Therefore I will put my hope in him. The Lord is my portion. The Lord is everything that I need. And when I've asked you that maybe beginning tomorrow morning, maybe it's today, right now in your heart, to say, God, your mercies are never ending and they are new every morning. To say, God, you are enough for me. God, I understand that I can find fulfillment in nothing else. You are my portion. And so I will find my hope in you. I'm not looking forward to the things that maybe if you know there's a big meeting or maybe there's a conversation you're going to have that you're not looking forward to at work or with a family member or whatever it is. We all have things that weigh on our heart, that weigh on our mind. But to be able to get up in the morning and first thing to say, God, your mercies are new, they're never ending, and God, you're enough. I can face today. I don't know everybody's situation in this room. I don't know, maybe you're able to say freely, yes, God's mercies are new every day and I am experiencing that and I'm loving life right now. This is wonderful. Maybe you're in that situation, or maybe you're in a situation where you say, I literally dread going to work every day. But God, your mercies are new. You are my portion. You're enough, and so I will hope in you. Remember, this is a people that's in slavery. This is a people, their city is in ruins. They're not in their home. They're not in no way, shape, or form are they in a comfort zone. But even amidst this time where they realized there was great need for mercy, that they saw God give. They had hope that God would grant his special mercy. Verses 22 to 24 are a blip of hope in Lamentations. It shows that no matter what's going on, no matter how we're struggling, God's mercies never end. They're new every day. You can't use them up. We shouldn't try to use them up, but we can't use them up. I was riding in a pickup truck the other day with actually three other pastors, and just some time that we decided to gather together early in the morning and very early in the morning and drive around a little bit in the foothills and just pray for each other and talk with each other, you know, get some common perspective. And as the sun began to rise, we're heading east, we can barely see through the windshield, and one of the pastors said, "God, thank you that your mercies are new every morning. That I didn't use them up yesterday, I won't use them up today. I won't use them up tomorrow." And I'm telling you, Southwinds, that stuck with me. Every day we can remember that promise. Every day we can know, God, you are enough. Jesus, you are enough for me. God's mercy has not run out for you. So this week, please, thank God every morning by acknowledging what Lamentations 3:22-24 tells us. Again, if write it on a post-it note. Have it pop up on your phone or your iPad or whatever it is. But be reminded of Lamentations 3:22-24 this week. Again, as we get ready to go into Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry of Jesus, as we get ready to go into Good Friday, where we take special time to remember what Christ has done for us in the cross, what God did for us in sending his Son. Take time. Let's focus on the mercy of God. And I'm praying that this will prepare us, prepare our hearts as his people, as a church family, for this special time that we're about to enter into. Remembering especially, we remember every day what Jesus did for us on the cross. And what God did in raising him from the dead and declaring victory over death. We remember it every day as his followers. But we take special time in churches all over our city, in churches all over the world, to celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of our King. And I'm praying that as we remember his mercies, that it will prepare our hearts to get us ready for this special time in the weeks ahead. And I would invite you, please, as you remember these things, as you read this passage this week, you know, maybe share with somebody how God is making that ring true in your heart, that his mercies are new today. Share it with somebody. Man, I would love to hear about what God is doing. Shoot me an email. My email is on the back of your bulletin. It's not in the back anymore. It's in the bulletin. My email is there. If you want to shoot me a text, if you want to give me a call, I mean, if you just need to let somebody know, I would love to hear how God is making his mercy new today. And hopefully how that encourages you, maybe how that challenges you, maybe how it's convicting us. It doesn't have to be with me. You don't have to share it with me, but share it with somebody and celebrate it with somebody. Even if God's given us a convicting word that one morning, share it with somebody. Acknowledge God's mercies are fresh every day. And live like they are fresh. Because people are watching. As much as we feel like maybe many times in many days we feel like nobody's watching, people are watching. And they need to see that God's mercy is fresh and new every day for me. And they need to see it in you. They need to see it in his people.